Hello. Today's Tuesday, June 11th, and we're recording several days earlier than we typically do, and it's throwing us off.
Everything is weird.
That thing that happened on Saturday that you're going to accuse us of ignoring, we're not really ignoring it.
It hasn't happened for us yet. Don't you understand?
They don't understand.
Also, like, we're recording this at the, like, toward the end of a work day, so, like, you may hear some weird background noise from, like, other offices, and you just should ignore that.
Turns out it's an office building and people do stuff.
So.
They bring things into the workplace that don't belong there.
It's a child. It's
foreshadowing.
So, as I try to do, I strive to do every week, and most of the time I can do it. Sometimes I can't. I like to start with the Jeep Pie.
The Jeep Pie works to cap funding for rural and poor people and gets GOP backing. So, I don't understand enough about how this program works to say definitively what exactly he's doing here that is evil, except for schools with this program typically get free or discounted broadband, or it's a combination of things.
Have we always had a fade effect?
No.
Is that new?
That's, I guess, the OBS update. I don't know.
That's very fancy. Well, I was going to say this is like more of a rough episode, but now that's like, that just makes up for all the weird noise you're going to get.
Well, this is an umbrella. I forget what it's called, but this is more than one program. Universal Service Fund, but there's something else too, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's more than one program. Like the school one is part of it, but then there's like the rural build out and it's all under this one thing. And what he wants to do is budget cap the overall spending for that thing.
Yeah. So everybody, it's predictable how much money certain companies are going to get. Because right now, if you're a rural company and you show that you're bleeding cash, then you can get more of a reimbursement than, say, a fat cat company in New York City that really didn't do as much, and chances are they're probably cooking the books anyway.
Now here's the question, right? We have companies who are doing nothing. So is giving them less money to do nothing better? Or will it cause them to go into a negative amount of doing things?
Actually regressing on what services they provide.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how this is going to happen. The Democrats, this is a partisan vote, as usual, in the FCC. Three Republicans and the two Democrats have said no, but doesn't matter. So they're condemning it, saying it's affecting poor people and people of color. And, you know, the usual dogma with one of these decisions.
The elderly.
And we'll see, I guess. It does have to be reviewed, and there's that you have to give it so many months of user comment. So you can go and comment on it, but we've seen what happens when you do that, right?
The spam bots.
They definitely look at all of that feedback and take it seriously. So,
right, exactly.
Worth your time.
And speaking of those giant telecommunications companies and how they screw the little guy.
Verizon avoided a decade's worth of taxes, and a new law could make it pay up. So, basically, in New Jersey, if the telecom company has like 51% of the holdings, they have to pay some type of property tax. And Verizon, in one case, said, "Oh, we're only like 44 to 47% of this area," when in reality, it was 90%.
They just get
that's a small numbers change. It's fine.
But it's one of those situations where Verizon told the, it's like, oh, hey, we're 40%. The government was like, all right, that sounds good. Yeah. When the reality was 90.
Yeah.
Gee, maybe someone could have spent 10 minutes looking into that, but no.
They also didn't pay taxes in some cases for over a decade.
Yeah, because you don't have to as long as you're under that.
Yeah.
Now they're introducing a new bill. They would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for this
darn
Tennessee
kids
senator.
And their dog too.
And so his bill would retroactively apply those taxes if you'd been caught doing this kind of thing, which would cost them quite a lot of money. They won't like that.
You think that'll actually happen? You think they'll actually be punished?
Well, I'm sure there will be a heavy lobby against that bill passing. There will some duffel bags full of money will probably change hands.
Yeah.
We talk about facial recognition almost every week at this point. That's going to be a hotbed political issue for the next election cycle, I think.
In before, like, pictures of every American is uploaded to the Pirate Bay.
Well, that'd be one way to do it, I guess. But then, you know, I mean, wouldn't stop the government from using them, right? Mm-hmm. It would just even, I mean, it really doesn't help us against the tyrannical government if we also have the pictures.
Yeah.
We should probably read the headline.
Watchdog says the FBI has access to about 640 million photographs. Here's the newsflash. There's not 640 million people in the U.S.
Well, you know, they got multiple shots. They got your driver's license and
your
headshots.
Instagram. Yeah. Your Instagram thought photos.
So they've got all of the photos that they would normally have in their investigations. Plus, they have access to the driver's license databases. And the FBI, when questioned about this, they were like, no. Don't worry. We only use these for active investigations or when we think there should be an active investigation.
I read that line and was like, literally all the time? Yeah.
So, well, in other words, anytime we feel like it, that's when we use these.
The crazy thing is that 640 million, I mean, you know, even if each one of these photographs is 100 kilobytes, that is a trivial amount of information to store.
Well, they don't even store it. They access it through the states as far as the driver's license.
Well, I mean, even if like the states cut off access, there's no reason to think that they wouldn't have a copy.
Oh, yeah, they probably got their own copy. That's true.
Like, well, I could have a copy in a drawer of all of this, and it would be fine. It's not any massive feat to store all this.
What if there's an EMP, but you still need to track down these filthy criminals, right?
It's going
to
be in that locked filing cabinet that was protected from the EMP.
Yeah, it's going to be in the bunker, right? Yeah. Of course it is. Why not? Amazon is definitely part of this government espionage, spying on the people network, right? And they want to be more of it. Amazon loves to work with the government because that's good money. And we've heard of the Jedi program. What a great name, right? For such an awful thing. And the Jedi program was hotly contested among all the big cloud providers. But now Amazon and Microsoft are in the lead. Wonder how they got there.
Amazon offered a job to a Pentagon official involved with its $10 billion contract. So, yeah, we covered this a little bit before. Amazon is going to be the cloud provider for the Pentagon.
Well, Microsoft, on paper, they're still in there. I don't think they're going to get it. Maybe if this blows up big enough.
Unfortunately, this is pretty normal. Like, I would be surprised if anybody finds any actual wrongdoing here, because this actually happened. Like, this is not atypical for government contracting.
Well, I mean, look at a Ajit Pai.
No.
Yeah.
And all the FCC chairmen and lobbying and regulating are kind of hand in hand, which is one of the big problems. Maybe the big problem with our country. But they point out that this guy, he worked in the Pentagon, and for weeks after he knew he was taking this job with Amazon, he was still working on these programs. Didn't tell anybody.
Crazy.
Sad.
But not surprising.
Now, the thing about, a lot of people like to talk about late stage capitalism, right?
Is that right before the collapse of society?
Well, supposedly, like, you know, it's
foreshadowing.
Like, oh, we have to go back to communism. But that is not where we are. We are in crony capitalism, right? That's where the government and the corporations are working hand in hand, like we say, with Amazon and the Pentagon, or Verizon and the FCC. And the government has really, like, they've tended these giant tech companies like grapes. And now they're fat and juicy, and they are ready to be made into wine by the government. And that is exactly, they are definitely, I think, the time of harvest is near.
Exclusive. The U.S. Justice Department is considering an Apple probe, according to sources. So, yeah, they're going to probe Apple for antitrust violations. I mean, they should just call up Louis Rossman and talk about all the terrible things that Apple has done as far as, like, the right to repair. Or, like, the horrible things they've done in the Qualcomm case. I mean, those, you know, in the 1950s, Apple probably would have already been broken up.
But it's not just Apple. It's Google. It's Facebook.
Yeah.
It's all the big companies. I think part of the 2020 election run is going to be a tough-on-tech stance, right?
Do we know of anything that has been as egregious as the Qualcomm-Apple thing? Because from, like, Google, certainly Facebook, but what about Google and Amazon? Because, like, I don't think that Jeff Bezos is as morally bankrupt as Tim Cook. Is that possible?
I think Bezos is
X'd out.
He's not as covert about his, you know, machinations. He's, you know exactly what he's doing. He's trying to conquer the world. Sometimes you don't see it coming, but he was never hiding it. You know, he just... Yeah. It was
like
just
those texts with the women that he cheated on his wife for 25 years
He was definitely hiding those. But then when he did it, he was just like, all right, I did it. and here's half of my money. You know what? You caught me. Good play. But
it is just a game to him.
Yeah, Apple is definitely not. Well, you could say that the Cambridge Analytica thing, like for the people, was worse. But is dumping all those records worse than systematically overcharging people for crap technology?
I was thinking about that on the plane ride back from Taipei, not to digress a little bit because we already don't have enough time. But so imagine a world where Zuckerberg was like, you know, in talking about the privacy thing in Cambridge Analytica, was like, look, people share their information with us, and we want to be good stewards of that. We want to use your private information to offer you services and give you things of value. And we thought that the commercial program like we had with Cambridge Analytica would be a good way for companies to explore that. What we didn't realize was that that exploitation would be largely a one-way direction. Like, they would exploit that information and be manipulative and not actually give anything of value in return to the users. Like, we want to collect your private data and we want all of your stuff, but we want to actually provide value to the end user. Like, he didn't do that. Like, he was just like, no, this is terrible. We should not do this, which I think is more dishonest than what I outlined. But I think that if, like, that's how Bezos acts, is like, this is what we're going to do. It's like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But Zuckerberg is more like, oh, no, you know, we've got to be better as a company. And it's like, there's a difference there.
We're going to crush our competition. We're going to destroy your communities. And we're going to buy the husks and convert them into our own warehouses. But we're going to get you that package in one day. And I'm sitting here like, yeah. I do like that.
I can live with that.
I got to admit. Although, you know, you talk about Facebook, and what about the fact that iTunes was also harvesting and selling your data?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we're going to talk about Gmail.
Yeah, Gmail's doing some bad stuff.
I mean, they're kind of all doing the same thing. Privacy, as we have learned, is the new mantra, not just of Facebook, but also of Apple. Yeah. Apple has now announced a privacy push, which, you know, who is, which one is worse, you know, in terms of, which company is against privacy as much as they're talking about being for it?
I see something different coming from this article, but the headline is that New York State is pushing one of the strictest privacy bills in the nation. And that's cool, and you talk about it, and you talk about Google and Facebook and all the other stuff. The reality here, though, is that privacy is becoming political cannon fodder, and no one is actually taking privacy seriously.
Is there any between the leaks and the hacks and the ransomwares, is there any future where privacy can actually be something someone sells us?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think that at privacy as like that kind of a commodity, it would be like somebody selling you money. It's like, I'm going to, it's like, you give me $100 and I will give you $85.
Okay, so Bitcoin.
Yeah, and like Bitcoin, every week you'd hear about another exchange that's been taken, another privacy exchange that's been compromised because people don't know how to properly secure these kinds of things, you know, especially now the people who are brokering them in government. We all know about the CRISPR babies. Last week, Wendell, you weren't here, but we found out about the CRISPR snails.
What?
They were able to, you know, snails have like a Fibonacci swirl. Well, they're able to reverse the direction with CRISPR now.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. Not sure why you'd do it, but they did.
It's a very rare genetic mutation in
nature. It's going to lead to race wars in the snail population eventually.
Here in the good old US of A, they put their foot down about the CRISPR babies.
House committee votes to continue ban on genetically modified babies. Here's a conundrum for you, though. What if the genetic modification is to remove a genetic disease?
That's what some people are arguing, but others are like, but there's no, like, plan going forward for the research. There's no legislation for, like, what the ethical boundaries are. I don't know. It's confusing.
I saw an article about the Chinese CRISPR babies, and it was like, the Chinese CRISPR babies could force an early death or face an early death because of this gene, because of the CRISPR thing. And then, you know, you clickbait in and you read it, and it's 1.9 years, possibly. You wouldn't give 1.9 years to be super baby?
Except the only thing that they even put in there was that I think they would have a higher resilience to AIDS. So it's like, it's kind of like a weird trade-off, really. And if you start adding a ton of things, like, would that reduce it even more? I mean, there's just a lot of questions, I think. Maybe not something you shouldn't pursue, but it needs to be really thoroughly discussed, I think.
Well, listen, Generation 1 babies get AIDS resistance for 1.9 years, but Generation 5 babies might get telekinesis for 10 years. And I'm willing to make that trade, you know?
Well, we've unlocked humanity's latent psychic abilities.
It's going to be the movie Gattaca.
Does anybody remember Kick?
No.
No, I actually kind of got confused reading the start. I was like, what is Kick again?
I'm pretty sure we talked about Kick when this happened.
I remember us talking about it, and I remember us saying this is irrelevant.
Well, let's refresh our memories.
The SEC has sued Kick over $100 million ICO. It sees Ken as a security. So it's like they didn't follow the SEC rules because it's a cryptocurrency and they're not doing stuff correctly. So a little bit of a problem there.
So Kick was a failed social media thing, and in order to fund themselves, they did Kin, which was an ICO, and they didn't report anything to the SEC, and they didn't pay any taxes, I'm sure, and so the SEC has cried foul. They want their pound of flesh? I'd say they'll get it. We talked last week about Baltimore. Baltimore was under siege from ransomware and pretty much shut them down completely. Usually, when you get ransomwared, the ransomers are very quiet about it because they just want to get their money and get out of there. They're not looking for any recognition, but
These
guys are playing a different route.
Authorities are investigating the claim that Baltimore ransomware group leaked documents to Twitter. So that included medical records. Mm-hmm. So the city is screwed. This was not just a ransomware attack, and this was a ransomware attack, but they had access to city stuff for forever, apparently. The Twitter account's been removed, but they posted some medical records where the city was like having somebody, like they were reviewing somebody's medical claim or medical records, probably as part of like an employee health plan thing.
It was a lawsuit. It was to a lawyer.
So gonna be real bad. There's gonna be HIPAA violations, and yeah, they probably should not have kicked the hornet's nest on that one.
They said the woman in question did not respond for comments, which means her attorney is telling her, mm-hmm. "No, don't talk about this because you just won a lottery." Now, the reason they're probably doing this is because the mayor of Baltimore has been adamant he will not pay the ransom. They're looking for $76,000, which might be less now that Bitcoin has crashed. And they estimate that the cost to recover from this is going to be $18 million.
Ooh.
That's weird math. I mean, I understand not negotiating with terrorists, but that's a big difference.
It's a big difference.
Julian Assange, there have been reports that he's very ill. I wonder if there's any truth to that.
He is in jail for skipping bail. Should be noted.
But he did not attend one of his hearings because they say that he is very sick. I don't know what's wrong with him. But he waits in limbo to find out if he will be extradited to the United States. But the U.S. prosecutors have made a very weird decision.
Assange is not going to face charges over his role in the devastating CIA leak. So WikiLeaks posted copies of tools that the CIA used to break into computers. It's a little bit of an open secret. The article says that the leak was how a lot of nation-state actors got access to the CIA tools, but other sources have said that, like Russia and, you know, the Saudi Arabia and the Five Eyes countries and everybody else already had access to these tools, so this leak wasn't really any big deal. But the CIA, the article speculates that the CIA is not going to bother with this because it would just raise more questions. And they already arrested a specific individual for the leak who has pled not guilty.
And they might have to expose even more of their stuff in the discovery. Interestingly, as we talked about last week, one of those tools is what got Baltimore.
Yeah.
So. Ouch.
Now, they are still going to charge him with the Manning thing.
Well, that's not the CIA. That's somebody else.
But I'm saying, like, he's not off the hook.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's just not going to get the... he's going to be Espionage Act charges.
Which is baffling.
But not these treason charges. So, interesting. Something tells me that they will still get their man, unfortunately.
He'll just get polonium'd. It's like, oh, he died of natural causes. At the bottom of an elevator shaft. Onto some bullets.
Oh, just
shot himself in the back of the head twice.
Yeah.
As people in his position often do. Google doesn't just face problems here at home, as we talked about Apple, but Google is part of that antitrust. You know, the government's going after all the big names. But you got to say that, you know, as great as America is, we are sort of following in this instance because the EU did it first.
Google appeals its $1.7 billion EU AdSense antitrust fine. This is the one that we talked about where the EU, like, they actually made a lot of changes to AdSense. And from, like, again, our armchair position, it looked like Google was actually honestly trying to comply with what the EU wanted.
You said, don't care. Pay me.
Give us our money.
But yeah, they changed how the search results are displayed and took off some of their stuff and where it appeared. And yeah, they really did make changes, but hey, not good enough, according to the EU. The EU has a dark secret about...
There's more than one dark secret, as it turns out.
A certain embassy, and you're thinking, oh, are we talking about Julian Assange? No, we're not.
The EU's embassy in Russia was hacked, but the EU kept it a secret. So this is bad, because this hack actually affected other EU member states, and I was sitting here reading this thinking, I wonder if this runs afoul of the GDPR stuff, because notifications and stuff like that are supposed to be a part of this, so the EU's not following its own recommendations.
It happened in 2017, but as soon as GDPR happened and they knew about this, they would have to report it, right?
Yeah.
So they actually don't know what they lost. They know they lost something, but two machines were affected, and you get the impression those machines had access to...
Article says it was advanced... Like, it was a persistent connection, so they could have been in there for months gathering whatever.
And they know they did definitely get data, and they had access, so you assume the worst in that situation. I, from GDPR standpoint, you have to assume the worst, right, legally?
Well, I'm sure EU will forgive EU.
It's not just about the EU, it's about the people who might have been affected.
Well, like, we'll just forgive them and forget about it.
What if you're a spy in Russia, and the Russian embassy would obviously be, you know, would have your name, and then Putin finds out about you, and you take the Polonium Express.
That's probably what happened to some people.
Yeah, so that could be a bit of a lawsuit there, right? Russia has also made the decision that they don't trust foreign companies, which, yeah, that sounds familiar. And the way they deal with it, rather than ban them, is they demand that these companies make data available to Russian law enforcement on request. And now you can add another name to the list.
Tinder. It's Tinder. This was surprising. Russia says Tinder must share user data and private messages. So if we were playing Family Feud and it was like survey says and the number one answer was Tinder, I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
swipe right to share user data. Is it right if you're a...
Right is yes and left is no, right?
Okay.
I think.
That sounds right.
So when asked... Because, like you say, it's surprising. And you wonder, would they ever even need this? When asked that, their official response was, there is a request pending. So at least once, they do want Tinder data.
Doesn't it seem like this would be used as political capital, though? And it's like, you know...
Yeah, especially, you know, like, what if you're on the gay part of it?
Yeah, it's like it's like, oh, you know... Representative Ladovsky is on Tinder, and we can follow this thing. It's like, oh, what if we went to, you know, this girlfriend from like 2 years ago, and it's like, we'll give her a bunch of state money to make up a lot of horrible things about this person and take them out politically. This is
you catfish them, put a real nice looking gal on there, arrange a meetup, and once again, Polonium Express.
That is a common tactic. You wouldn't even have to Polonium Express them. You could just make them part of some horrible incident, which is a thing that happens a lot.
Like Julian Assange. It was last week, right? Or was it this week? The Tiananmen Square anniversary.
This
past week, yeah.
And of course, you saw a lot of Reddit posts about it. People, you know, it's like, oh, we have to make sure the world doesn't forget.
I saw someone made it in Minecraft.
Wow.
That was the thing that was happening while I was in Taiwan.
That's one way to express yourself. But China and the Chinese government in particular are adamant that this never happened, which is a weird belief that you can sort of, you know, Emperor's New Clothes...
Memory hole it?
Yeah, but they will go to great lengths.
China has blocked CNN and Reuters about Tiananmen Square. So there was a shaved ice place that I went to in Taiwan, and they were real happy that CNN recommended them. Like, all of their stuff was like, CNN recommended that you come to this shaved ice place. CNN, you should. And it was like on all of their stuff.
It's shaved ice so much different from one kiosk to the next.
Yeah, it was like, no, you must.
Ours is the best because CNN recommends. American news outlets.
There's a great YouTube video about a. I can't remember which country it's in, but it's one of those Southeast Asia countries where there's one of those malls full of just like individual stalls, and one of them is a Michelin star.
Yeah.
And it's like, this guy, just overnight, somebody gave him a Michelin star, and he's like, I don't know. I just, a lot more people are showing up, and I'm doing this by myself. But this was, what was the name of the place? Re-something?
Re?
Refinitiv. So Refinitiv is kind of like AP and Reuters, where they just sort of, you know, dispense the news. And the Chinese government went to them, and they were like, you will not report this here. And so they censored the censorship stories.
Wow.
Which is a nice little double play, I suppose.
And now those stories are getting censored as well.
Where does it end?
It's just censorship all the way down.
This video is not available in China.
When does the censorship stop being news so you stop spawning stories about the censorship? It's like pointing the camera at the screen, displaying what's on the camera. Last week we talked about Huawei and the poor Huawei employees who would no longer be able to peer review papers. Now the IEEE has said that story, they actually said we're banning them, but we're waiting to hear back from the U.S. government. They've heard back.
So the U.S. Department of Commerce has applied export control restrictions to Huawei and 68 affiliates. The IEEE said, well, it's okay. They can still review and work on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
The government said...
So they were banned for like a week.
Doesn't that also mean that North Korea can participate again?
Do you think they have IEEE like standard testing and registration in North Korea?
No.
They just take the papers they get and use them as flame kindling.
Toilet paper. In Australia, last year, they had an interesting news report, and it had to do with the fact that the government probably had given itself power to spy on whoever they felt like. And seems like that's true based on this.
Federal police have raided the home of the News Corp journalist Annika Smethurst.
There she is.
I don't know. We might not have said that correctly. Yeah, that was last year though. This was a pure intimidation move.
Oh, absolutely. So she had reported this. Now they have a rule in Australia that anything that threatens to expose the government in some way is a crime. And so they decided. I think that like a new regime got in power or something, right? And they said, or maybe the people who were angling for this all along, and they said, yes, go raid her home.
If the government is not accountable to the people, who are they accountable to?
And especially the press, you know? Like they're supposed to have that protection to actually tell you when things like this happen. And
we raided her house because it was fake news. This is not real.
It's like, but if it was fake news, then it wouldn't be that much of a threat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a friendly visit. That's why, you know, they just dumped around her stuff.
A friendly visit where they took all of her electronics.
Yeah. And just for a little while. It's fine.
Oh, I'll still never get that back.
No.
No, probably not. Yeah.
So that's sad. And a lot of people have condemned it as, you know, oppression, which it was. It was oppression. Sad. Let's move to the security portion. We all hate robocalls, right? Yep. You think anybody's sitting at home and it's like, oh, it makes me feel alive when I get a robocall?
I got a robocall right before we started filming the news.
Nice.
On my work phone.
I've gotten a couple while we've been sitting here.
So Apple has decided to take matters into their own hand.
Apple is building a major defense against spam calls into iOS 13. Calls from unknown numbers will be automatically sent to voicemail. The problem I have with this is that if you have ever used iMessage and enrolled your phone for iMessage, you can't unenroll. It's like the Hotel California. You can never check out.
Also, it's not...
Can they do that with the GDPR stuff? Like, you have to have a...
GDPR doesn't protect you.
Well, it doesn't protect you, but, like, they sell stuff overseas. Yeah.
But not with the same phone numbers.
That's true.
So, it's not the best solution because you're basically just freezing everybody out. And I've said this before, but... especially going through the process of acquiring a home, and the things to put inside that home, you need to be able to get calls.
Yeah.
If somebody's delivering furniture, they're going to give you that 30-minute warning so you can go meet them there. You need to be able to get an outside call. This would prevent that entirely. So I don't know how useful this is.
Ooh. What's going on over there?
Don't look at the workbench. You didn't hear that.
Some USB.
Also, is it unknown to Apple or like not in your address book? Because I never add people to my address book.
It's your address book, your messages, and your call history.
Yeah, so I don't ever add anything to anywhere because my address book's getting uploaded to the cloud. I just memorize numbers.
But if your call history, if it's your call history, wouldn't they just call, go to voicemail, and then call again, and then they're in the history? Or does it keep track of who went to voicemail?
Well, it'll be the fun thing where, like, the spammers are faking, like, the IRS phone number, and if you call the number, it legit is the IRS. Mm. So they're calling from the IRS, but it's a spoofed number.
Square.
You know that's scaring people, too. Sorry, continue.
I couldn't read this one because Wall Street Journal.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't read this one either.
Yeah, well, I looked it up in the other place. So Square is a online payment thing. And apparently a lot of people use it, especially with phone payments.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because the example they gave here was a doctor. And a doctor is just taking phone payments, which is weird, right? You'd think there'd be like...
It depends. Like, okay, insurance and podiatrist, okay. Anesthesiologist, that's probably weird. Like,
right, but like you're
swipe
on,
your
you're
card, sir.
Going to the OR, they're like, all right, okay, go ahead, put your thumb on here. So what happened was that there was the medical one where her friend got some instance of her medical, but the really egregious one was a lawyer. This woman paid a divorce attorney, and they sent the receipt to one of her friends. And she was keeping the divorce a secret from everybody. Yeah.
That's not good.
And so they point out several instances where, just for whatever reason, these receipts are going to other people and revealing what you're paying for, which can be embarrassing.
So, yeah. Did we do the headline?
Oh.
Square sends millions of digital receipts, sometimes to the wrong person. One way that I thought this might be happening is... like, if you give somebody your credit card, like, go to the restaurant and pick up some food or whatever, like, they will put in their own email address. And then that email address is associated with your credit card.
It would make sense how the friend would get it. But isn't Square a digital payment?
Yeah, well, no. You run, like, it's the point of sale system. So, like, you have your credit card and you put it in. And then right from the point of sale system, you can add your email address to get loyalty points or... leave a note or whatever. But then once that credit card is associated with that email address, that is true of any merchant that sees your credit card.
What I'm amazed is that people put their email into anything like that.
Well, like he says, like a rewards program.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had people come up to you at Kroger and be like, hey, will you scan your card for my purchases? So like you can have my fuel points, but I want the discount. And I'm always, it's like, are you buying bomb making supplies or something? That's going to come back to me here. Well, that's happened to me before.
There are certain combinations of things that you can buy at like a Walmart that will set off little alarms.
Yeah, so you see their shopping cart, it's full of bleach and ammonia.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're just cleaning.
Yeah, just listen for the point of sale when it does that.
When I worked at a grocery store, people like used to share cards. That wasn't too strange.
But a total stranger. Just asking you to scan.
Like, sometimes people would be in line and someone forgot, you know, their loyalty card. And they would ask the person behind, oh, can I use yours? Most of the time people were fine with that.
See, I think that's a risk.
I mean, I grew up in a very small town, though, so.
It's actually also a good way to get somebody's mobile phone number, a lot of the loyalty programs, because you can be like, oh, I forgot my thing, can you look me up? And they will look up your name and then give you a phone number. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's my number. So it's usually associated with a mobile number or something like that. Is bad.
Stalker tips.
And when it comes to losing your data in terms of medical procedures, it's not just Square that's leaking them.
Quest Diagnostics says up to 12 million patients may have had financial, medical, and personal information breached. Well, I've got some bad news for Quest. Unless their insurance was really good, that fine probably going to put them out of business.
Well, it was the old third party. This was like an accounting firm or something. So
hope the accounting firm's insurance is good.
Yeah.
It's interesting. They didn't have the actual results. This is a blood testing company. So you'd send in your blood to be tested by Quest and they'd send it back. They didn't have the results of your actual blood test. But this firm had everything else. Your financials. your other medical history, and you got to wonder, why would they need all that information?
Well, sometimes the drug test shows up positive, but then if they look at your medical history and it's like, oh, you've got gene marker or whatever, it's like, that's a thing.
Seems like we could take care of that in some other way than just blanketing them with data. You know, like maybe just make a phone call when that happens one 10,000 times. The job market. It's supposed to be really good, right? I mean, we're supposed to be in a good place as far as the economy, but...
At least if you work in technology. If you're in any other sector, things are really bleak.
If you're in any other sector, technology's taking your jobs. But empirically,
sorry,
it seems like a lot of people are having trouble finding jobs, especially college graduates. And that's what makes this a ripe place to scam.
How a remote tech writing gig proved to be an old school scam. Request to interview via Hangouts was odd, and then came questions about electronic deposits. So basically, this is just a long roundabout ruse to get your banking information, which can then be used to steal money from you.
They went as far as to, this was going to be a remote position. This guy was a copywriter and an editor. And this was going to be a totally remote position where he was going to be writing for some company. And it was a real company. They had no idea this was happening. You know, the scammer just chose them. They sent him checks to set up his home office because he was going to be a remote worker. And I think when he deposited that check, which was another scam, their local businesses, they were scamming to, you know, do that with, then he was going to send back his bank account information to confirm. And that's where they would get him. He figured it out, turned him into the FBI, and the FBI said, you know what, we never catch these guys.
We only have that the database of like 640 whatever images.
Yeah, really?
That we can use at any time, but this is just...
If you host your own email server, you should live in fear.
It's Patch Tuesday. So this is a new remote code execution vulnerability that impacts nearly half the internet's email servers. It's XM. If you don't have 4.92 on XM, you've got problems. Go update.
It's funny because you have to leak this in over 7 days. So it's like one byte per hour or something like that. I don't know why it works like that. And also, how do you figure that out? But you can be sure, because it's easy to scan what's vulnerable to this. Some people are currently on like day 3. So...
that's bad.
Look into it. And finally, let's talk about Google. And I alluded to this earlier. We talked about, Facebook, Cambridge Analytica, obviously. Apple, you got your iTunes data. They're selling it. They're parsing it. But Google's doing something that is kind of hidden in plain sight, but just so wonderfully evil.
Google's Gmail scans, parses, analyzes, and catalogs your email. So... they're talking specifically about receipts. When you buy something online, there's a special thing in your Google history that is about all the stuff that you bought. And so we actually have mentioned this before on our earlier episodes of the news. It was like, huh, that's weird. They've been doing this for years. But whenever they added the feature, they also retroactively scanned all of your old email so that you can actually go and find this stuff. Nobody tell the guy that wrote this article that... Google has agreements with MasterCard and Visa and other credit card processors to actually get your credit card statements.
And
rumor has it.
Well, this is also
mostly confirmed.
But wouldn't surprise me if that.
But this is also mostly confirmed. Part of analytics and online advertising. Like Google can actually follow you.
Yeah.
From the click through the e-commerce to the payment. Oh, look, he bought something, and then they can report back to whoever bought that ad.
Yes.
Hey. This person actually bought the thing.
That was one of the first things we ever talked about on the Level 1 News was like Google is closing the loop by doing agreements with online commerce people to be able to make their ads more valuable.
You are automatically opted in, but if you do go through, you know, like 500 clicks and this article points out how to do it, you can opt out of this if you want to.
You're not really opting out though. You're just becoming a quote unquote anonymous data point. Your data is still there. They're still using it.
It's just not connected. Well,
and you don't have
maybe not
the convenience of going, like if you ever need one of these records,
yeah.
You can actually have it.
Yeah. There's a whole cottage industry around, because of like the GDPR and people that want to opt out, there's a whole cottage industry around giving you a number and then only associating your personal information with the number at the very last step. So when you request removal under GDPR or whatever, they just delete that record, but all of your other records related to the number stay.
Dark times. Unless you're an advertiser and you want to know when people actually buy something.
Oh, I think it's dark times for the ad industry in general because they don't understand how to advertise anymore. But the reality is that all those super invasive scripts don't really help or hurt advertising all that much anyway. Well, like you don't really need them.
Also, they do kind of hurt.
Well, in terms of performance and page speed. Yeah, there's all that.
They mostly just hurt, so maybe don't use them.
That's enough of that for this episode of the news. What do we got in the next episode?
Well, the next episode will be business and social media, where we'll talk more about advertising.
Oh,
and
boy.
Bad advertising decisions.
At some point, we got to talk about what happened at E3, because that's the thing. But I don't know when that's going to be.
Has E3 happened?
It will have, yes.
By the time this is released. Yeah.